We are looking, as the programme says, Nehemiah, but not reading from it now. So that sort of starts with a confusion, doesn't it? But our thoughts are from chapter 3 of Nehemiah, but I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, Nehemiah's in the Old Testament and John and Peter is in the New. So 1 Peter 2. And from verse 1. And as you all are aware, the theme for this week is Builders for God. 1 Peter 2. So get rid of your feelings of hatred. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with dishonesty and jealousy and talking about others behind their back. If you have tasted the Lord's goodness and kindness, cry for more, as a baby cries for milk, and grow strong in the Lord. Come to Christ, who is the living foundation of rock upon which God builds. Though men have spurned him, he is very precious to God, who has chosen him above all others. And now you have become living building stones for God's use in building his house. What's more, you are his holy priests. So come to him, you are acceptable to him because of Jesus Christ, and offer to God those things which please him. As the scriptures express it, see, I am sending Christ to be the careful, chosen, precious cornerstone of my church, and I will never disappoint those who trust in him. Yes, he is very precious to you who believe, and to those who reject him. Well, the same stone that was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone, the most honored and important part of the building. And the scriptures also say, he is the stone that some will stumble over, and the rock that will make them fall. They will stumble because they will not listen to God's word, nor obey it, and so this punishment must follow, that they will fall. But you are not like that, for you have been chosen by God himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were less than nothing. Now you are God's own. Once you knew very little of God's kindness. Now your very lives have been changed by it. Praise be to God for his word. Amen. I wonder how many of you joined in the prayers for Elizabeth Peck during last weekend, the young girl aged 2 who was lost for 41 hours. The wonderful news, of course, was that after the 41 hours she was found. But as I read that, I put myself into the situation that Mum and Dad, very worried of course, contacted the authorities when they realized that Elizabeth was missing. They were told to go on home so that the authorities then could take control of the whole situation and call in volunteers. And we understand that over 800 people volunteered to come at the call of the authorities, to listen to their instruction, and then to go out and search for the child who was lost. Now that, to me, was a clue to our theme of this week. I know we've come together for a holiday. That might be uppermost in our minds. But there is another reason why we have been brought together. God has called us together in order that we may listen to him, so that under his instruction we can, in the rest of our lives, go out in search of bricks in order to build for God. And that's where we start. But in order that we can, as it were, open wide that door, I believe we need to understand what it is that we're building. And the only thing that I can come up with in my simple way of thinking is that we are building the kingdom for God. In Shrewsbury, near to our home, over this last month, we've had some old houses knocked down. Not before time, of course. We think they ought to have been knocked down much earlier, but they were knocked down during this month. Once they've cleared the rubbish of the remains of those buildings, we saw a temporary hut that had been placed on that site. And I have the impression, strong impression, that they are now going to erect a new building on that site. In our thinking of the work of God and the building of his kingdom, I see that site as a picture of our world. On that site, God has acted in Christ, and he has destroyed the work of the evil one, causing that evil one's building to be a pile of rubbish. And if we could tonight look through that rubbish, we will see small temporary huts in different parts of the site that are the builder's huts. And it is into those huts that the workmen come to receive their instruction and then go on with the clearing away of the debris and the building of the new construction under the instructions of our new owner. And those temporary buildings are the churches that are situated in the sight of the world, in order that the kingdom of God can be erected. And we, through our faith in Christ, belong to that work team that has a builder's hut in High Wycombe, or in Shrewsbury, or in Dover, or in Aberdeen, or wherever. In order that, under the instructions of our master and our main builder, we can get on with the work of clearing the rubbish and building for God. And therefore, because we are working within the world of people, the thing that we are constructing is within the lives of those people. We are seeking to bring the rule of God into their lives. And therefore, we're not just interested in seeing that there is an absence of badness, that the clearing away of the rubbish. But we're interested to see the positive presence of the life of Christ. And therefore, our calling is to see that Christ, in his real presence, so comes within us that he causes us to be holy. He causes our life to be lit up with his presence. He causes every action that we do to be permeated with his love and his grace. Jesus by calling us together in this way to listen to his instructions so that we can go out and find the bricks for this construction, is wanting to continue in us his incarnation, whatever the risks that involves. And every time he succeeds in and through us, then we see the victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil himself. Now this is what we are building. We are building the kingdom for God. And if you want it in another term, we are spreading scriptural holiness throughout the whole of our society. Building the kingdom of God within the lives of all people. Well, how are we going to do it? And this is, I think, where our whole theme of the week comes in. That through our faith in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves bound together with like-minded people. And as we listen to the instructions of God, we discover that he has knit us together with his love, so that we now as a body can cooperate together, using whatever God puts into our hands for the construction of that kingdom, that presence of Christ in the life of all people. And this is where Nehemiah chapter 3 comes in. And if you look at it perhaps tonight, that right through the chapter you see how the goldsmith and the merchant and the rulers and the ordinary people zealously gave time and energy for the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And we're told that they did it next to each other. This man did it next to that man. Mr. Jones did it next to Mr. Smith. Mr. Hall did it next to Mr. Lewis, and so on. Right around the wall. They did it in cooperation together. One doing a large section whilst another did a small one. One doing a gate whilst another did a little latch gate. But they all did it in cooperation because God had knit them together as a body. And they cooperated together for that construction. Now this is how we, as God's people, are called to carry out this work of constructing the kingdom for God. That he wants us to do it together, using whatever we have in our hands for his glory and the building of the kingdom. I came across this testimony of Deville Walker, who was for a long time a missionary, but a missionary with a particular job, the job of using his camera. And he gave his testimony that at the age of 16, he was given a camera for his birthday. His birthday fell on a Sunday. And because he was so thankful for this gift, he took it with him to church. The lesson for that day was Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 14. And the sermon was the story of how God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt. And the preacher concerned emphasized how Moses protested about the fact that he was not the right man for the job, that he wasn't a trained leader, that he wasn't a good public speaker, and in fact, he didn't have any standing amongst the Israelites. He had no authority amongst them. And as the minister got to that climax of his sermon, he called out as God called out to Moses, and he said very loud, "What's that in your hand?" And Daniel, who had been dreaming about his camera and what he was going to do with it, he suddenly stood up and said, "Sir, it's a camera, sir." Now, fortunately for him, the minister was able to gather the whole congregation together again, and he was able to carry on with his sermon without embarrassing the boy too much. And he went on to explain how God was able to use the rod in the hands of Moses so that Moses could see that he did have standing in the eyes of God and therefore also in the hands and in the life of the people about him. And when the service was over and people were going out, the minister was shaking hands, and when Deville came to go out through the door and he was shaking hands with the minister said, "Make sure that you use what God has put into your hand for the glory of God, won't you?" And he said, "I never forgot that." And he said, "It's a good job that I didn't. Because later in life I offered to be a missionary. And I found with my work amongst people of another country that I just was getting nowhere. In fact, I was so depressed that I had written my resignation. But whilst I had been doing my work as best I could, I was also using my camera. And various missionaries took my slides home and used them on deputation. And the missionary society for which he worked also used his slides in their magazines. And when they got wind of his mood and the fact that he was fed up with his work, they wrote back and said, 'If you'll stay on just taking photographs, then we believe that you are doing what God wants you to do.' And so for the rest of his life, that's how he served God and the church on the mission field, using his camera. I see that as something that is an encouragement to me, and I hope to all of us. That as we are building the kingdom for God, causing the presence of Christ to be alive within all our people, and as we do this work together, each using what God has given to us as a gift of the Spirit, then it will be in cooperation together that this work of construction will go on. And God's kingdom will be established. For each of us has a job to do within this construction. And we're all needed together." Now, if that is so, and I believe it is, and this comes from the Word of God, where do we start? I found I had to, first of all, before I could start, look inside here, my heart. Because if God, having saved me from my sin, has called me to this work of construction, then I must confirm my intention with him, and I must count the cost. Because if I am, together with all these lovely people that love Jesus, to be one in a team, then they are going to be dependent upon me as I am upon them. And therefore I must see that my life is built upon the foundation of Jesus. Because there is no other foundation on which we can build. And therefore, as I come to him, offering myself and what I have in my hand for his service, then I must listen to him and his word. And this is where the cost comes in. Be prepared to obey him, whatever. And so I felt that as I was asking the question, where do we start in the building of this kingdom for God, I had to come clean with God first. Because once we can come clean with God and show to Him that we really want to be obedient, it is then that we can look to that place where we start. Because do you know where it is? Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 28 tells us, over and against your house. There's nowhere else we can start. That once we as God's person have come to Him and offered ourselves and our gift to Him for the construction of His kingdom, and we are willing to obey Him in everything, then the first place that we've got to go to is our own home. 10 days ago, we came home from a holiday in North Devon. On the Sunday, we went to Woolacombe Parish Church. After the service, they have a cup of coffee. Cup of tea tonight. We were talking to various people in the congregation, and we noticed a family who were there the week before, and during the week we'd seen them on the campsite. They'd come from the same campsite. And so, talking together, you know, pleased to see you, great that, you know, we have fellow Christians on the campsite. And in conversation, because there was man, wife and daughter there, he said, well, of course, we are five, not three. But we've left our teenage boys at home in bed, because you know how it is with teenage boys, don't you? Now that hurt me, because whilst I know that's how it is with teenage boys, I saw what a sin of neglect there was within the life of my brother. Because why should it be? If Jesus is so precious to us, if we believe that there is nothing more important in life than to serve Him, if we believe that Jesus is alive and can be present in any person's life, why should we neglect our own loved ones as we try to serve others? Isn't this the place where we should start? With those who are close and dear to us? I'll give you three reasons why I believe it is. Because if we can see our family, both wife and or husband and children, bound together with the same interest, bound together with the same purpose in life, bound by the same obedience, if you want to say, to Jesus for this construction of His kingdom, then you cut out any wastage of time. You cut out any reduction in efficiency. You cut out any anxiety of attack by the devil. Because you and your loved ones are working together for Jesus. Now that's where we've got to start. That once we ourselves have counted the cost, then our mission field is our own home first. And then together, bound together with the work, go out and help others to discover the same beautiful and wonderful experience. I've opened the door. For the rest of the week, we're going to see how we're prepared and equipped for this. How we will meet the objections and problems on the way. But we have this privilege of seeing in the presence of God and God's people that He wants us to be bound together with him for the spreading of holiness into the lives of all people. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us together in this way, in a holiday atmosphere that is relaxed, in order that we can listen to you and discover the way in which you want us to search for the bricks for the building of your kingdom. Help us, O Lord, for we need to be brave to start in our own home, because it means that every moment, every conversation, every decision is to be motivated by your Spirit. So bless us, Lord, and help us to start now, as we count the cost and offer ourselves into your service. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.